Cook County is out with the new sick leave law for workers, and it's was I think it kicked in July 1st. Everyone was talking about the soda tax, but there's this new ability for workers, no matter where they work, to accrue sick time, and that's caused quite a headache for a lot of HR people, a lot of small businesses. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the program with Gretchen van Vlieman. She's from Stradex. We talk to the folks from Stradex from time to time. Right now, Ben Meyerson from Blue Sky Innovation is in the studio. Read that in the Tribune or online at chicagotribune.com. Ben, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. Glad to be here.
All right. We don't have a lot of time and a lot of things I want to talk to you about, so I want your answers to be 10 seconds each.
All right.
That was too short. Try longer. Let's talk about this. You guys had a piece in about the side hustle and about how more and more of us, whether it's Airbnb or Lyft or Uber, we've kind of got a second job, something that we're setting on our own time. And while it offers great freedom, it might not offer the economic benefit that a lot of people might expect.
Yeah. 1 in 4 people, according to a new survey from Pew, earns money from a digital platform economy, the digital platform economy. That includes things like Lyft, where you drive things or drive your own car around and give people a ride from here to here, or Airbnb.
That's a pretty amazing number. 25% of us are involved in this in one way or another. Is it paying off?
It depends, it seems like. The folks that that are seeing the most benefit are the ones that generally have the best economic footing to begin with. So
right.
You see places like Airbnb where people might have bought a second house or have an extra like house in back of their condo or whatever, that they're making more money and with less work from Airbnb than folks like Lyft or TaskRabbit, who are literally just driving and doing deliveries around town.
So if it's for bonus cash, it's nice. If it's for living cash, it might be a struggle.
Yeah, which is kind of an interesting dichotomy there.
Let's stay in the city. There was also a story this week about, I think the business is called Blue Crates. Interested in this. This guy, he just bought a bunch of crates. I'm assuming rented some warehouse space. And he'll rent the crate to you. You fill it up if you've got too much stuff in your house. And then he stores it until you want it.
Yeah, the way that they're describing it is basically a closet extension for urbanites.
Okay.
So you've got your apartment in Roscoe Village or whatever. You've got a really small apartment, no storage space, but you want to put all your Christmas stuff or your winter clothes somewhere, and you got nowhere to put it. They will come. They'll drop off a crate or a giant plastic wardrobe, and you fill it up. They'll come pick it up, and anytime you want it, they'll come drop it back off at your apartment.
What's it cost?
It runs you $7.50 for a crate and $15.50 for a wardrobe per month.
And that's a month. So if you've got one crate, it's going to be, what, almost $85, something like that a year?
Yeah, something like that if you do out the math.
Who's got one crate, Ben? No one's got just
exactly.
One crate. Aren't there a lot of companies trying to do this? Is he going to
Okay? And actually, so this is interesting because it's a Chicago-backed company. They're mostly using their own money, although they have gone through some accelerators and so on and so forth. But there are some big money-backed competition from L.A. and New York that's raised between the two of them more than $150 million.
And they're going to be okay with this? I mean, I guess it's early on. I'm just thinking, if let's say you don't have one crate. Let's say you've got three crates. If I said $85, you're going to make me do my math here. But you know what, $240, $250 you're spending a month. That's a lot of money when it comes to, it seems like you could rent your own storage space for that.
Yeah, well, I think that what they're counting on here is that maybe you don't have a car, maybe you don't want to drive out to a storage space in the outer-lying neighborhoods or to the suburbs or whatever. But they say that they've grown quite quickly since they've grown last year. They started with 400 crates, and they ran out of space quite quickly, and they've been buying, I think they said, 10 crates a month since then.
Well, good for them. I hope it works out. I don't mean to keep pointing out the bad news of it, although I did, didn't I?
It's doing well, it seems.
Oh, good.
They say.
Because it does make perfect sense if you're living in a cramped apartment just to have somewhere where you can store the stuff for a while. If you're living in a cramped L car and you're reading your phone all the time, right? There's these other guys who've come up with this idea of, well, it almost sounds like Cliff Notes or Crib Notes of the classics because they want people reading again. I'm all about reading. Explain that for me.
Mouse Books. It's Chicago's latest hit Kickstarter. They set a goal of $10,000, and they're not even done yet, and they've already quadrupled that. They've got a little more than $41,000 as of today, and that went up $1,000 since last night.
Okay, I'm usually a positive guy. So Mouse Books, this idea, they're going to take a classic, right? War and Peace, something like that. But they're going to distill it down into something you could read in maybe 90 minutes. The idea is shorter attention spans. The books look about the size of an iPhone. so you can read it on the L like that. They want to get people reading books again.
Yeah, it's a 48-page book, and it's they're doing things along themes. This one is this month's. Their first set is going to be struggle. So that includes works from Jane Austen, Dostoevsky, all these kinds of things, and they're distilled down by this guy who was a doctorate in literature.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, and they seem pretty confident in the product here, and the market so far has borne that out.
And so the idea is that you would buy this sort of snippet of great literature. It would introduce you to it and then maybe read the whole thing if you want, or you just move on to another snippet down the road.
Well, I think the hope is that it'll be both. There's a bookstore in Hyde Park, 57th Street Books, that's going to be picking these up and selling them at retail as well. And the guy who owns the bookstore there says, this is great. I don't mind that it's small. Hopefully it'll whet people's appetite and they'll come back for the real thing.
Right. So the campaign offers single shipment of three books for $16 or a one-year subscription for $50. And I think you get three books each quarter. So
indeed,
three for 12. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, wish him luck. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it, Ben.
My pleasure.
But right now, Gretchen Van Vlieman is in the studio. She's the vice president of account management at StratX, and she's about to blow your mind.
Let's hope so.
Well, welcome back to the Business Lunch, Gretchen. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Bring that microphone a little closer to you. I'm sorry. Should have told you that before.
Okay.
Okay, so I had no idea. We're going to talk about a new policy that Cook County has approved that allows for workers to have paid sick time, which is a great idea. I think I saw a statistic here somewhere, about 40% of private sector workers in Cook County, about 840,000 people currently don't get paid sick leave.
Right.
So Cook County steps in and they say, well, look, if you're an employer, you have got to allow your workers some paid time off. People lower income might be losing their jobs because they're caring for a family member, things like that.
Sure.
Good policy.
It's a great policy. You know, we're employers. We have hearts. I think it's definitely something that we want to make sure our employees know about, but it is a little bit difficult to implement right off the bat.
And so, you know, they found this with the soda tax, too, that was
yes.
to take effect July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
This just took effect July 1st.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's brand new.
So if you're an employer, you've got to set up a program where people can build up time off, right?
Correct.
What are you hearing?
So we're hearing from our employers. They're a little worried about it. You know, now they have to offer up to 40 hours of paid time off for sick purposes, which a lot of their employees might not receive. And so they look at that as extra money that they're spending on their employees, which mm-hmm. makes them nervous. They also worry about abuse. You know, people lying about taking sick time. So
I read it in a piece, I think it was in the Tribune, where some of them are just planning on laying low
yeah.
and hoping their workers don't know about it. Now, you're shaking your head. That's a bad policy.
Yeah.
But they might get away with it. No one knows about this.
Right. I think they're going to start hearing more and more about it. And even though the enforcement's probably going to be pretty light within the first few months, it's definitely something that they're going to be looking out for.
Right. The county says, look, we're not looking to bust people. We want to help people with this.
Sure. They're going to be reasonable. I don't think that they're going to drive a hard line right away.
Okay. So I work here at WGN Radio.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very generous benefits package. Thank you very much.
That's great.
I get 5 sick days a year.
Great.
Now, you're telling me under this new law that takes place, because I work in Cook County,
mm-hmm.
that if I can't carry over my sick days, but you're saying now I can.
Now you can. So this law does provide for carryover, up to 20 hours of carryover into the next plan year.
So if I am sick 3 times this year, take 3 sick days, I've
mm-hmm.
got 16 hours that I can take to the following year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the law specifically says you can carry over up to half of what you've got left over at the end of the year, up to 20 hours.
Are you surprised at my face that I am shocked by this?
I mean,
I'm telling my coworkers this morning, and none of us had any idea that was a possibility.
I know, but that's scary for us. We want to make sure employers understand what's required, because I don't think this is going away, and there's a city ordinance for this as well. So it's not just Cook County that's affected. It's also the city of Chicago.
So what if you do if you're an employer who has workers in Cook County and also workers in DuPage County?
So it depends on where those employees are actually working the majority of their time. But if they're in Cook County working, then they need to have this this law intact for them. If you're in DuPage or Lake County, it's a different story. So it's more so just making sure that wherever that employee is working the majority of their time, that they're abiding by those laws.
And so what are you telling the companies who hire you? How do they prepare for this?
Well, the first thing we're saying is if you're an employer in Cook County, make sure that you're checking with your local municipality or your local offices to ensure that there haven't been an opt-out, because a lot of these, like Schaumburg, for example, is opting out of this within Cook County so that they don't have to comply with it. Others are not. So that's the first thing to do. But then the second thing is just to make sure that you're tracking hours that you're giving your employees.
That's the thing. You've got to keep track of it to know what they've accrued.
Exactly.
You've got to really set it up.
Yeah, there's a reporting requirement associated with that. So point-in-time reporting, or having someone that can track this in your office, you know, whether it's on an Excel spreadsheet or a system of some sort, is going to be really important.
Right. So it's a good idea. I think it's great that people are able to, you know, I know it's a cost for owners, but it's a cost to families if you can't take
sure.
6 days. So
sure.
I hope they get it sorted out. It sounds like in typical Cook County fashion, there might be a few wrinkles.
A few.
Yeah. I'm feeling a cold coming on, but I'm coming to work Monday because I want to save that day for next year.
Well, yeah, you can save it. And we can't ask for a doctor's note unless you're out for 3 days in a row.
Wait, tell me more about that.
So it used to be that if an employee was out sick, you could just say, okay, bring in a doctor's note to prove that you were truly sick. But now this law says you can't do that unless they've been out for 3 days in a row.
Have you seen the forecast for Monday? What's it look like?
I'm not getting into it.
Gretchen Van Vlieman is the VP of Account Management at Stratex. Nice to see you again.
Nice
Come
to
back
see
soon.
You. Thank you.
We're always hearing about these cyber attacks and the ransomware. There was just another big one, I think, last week. And well, we talked earlier this week about one of these attacks might have been actually cover for a government that was trying to go in and steal data. At any rate, they're very real, and they are hitting a lot of businesses. In the studio with me now is Steve Burness, the president, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago and Northern Illinois. Steve, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Let's start with numbers, right? Because the odds are growing that if you run a business that you're going to have to deal with this.
Right, they are growing in intensity as well. The odds of a cyber attack are 1 in 4 for businesses with less than 25 employees and 1 in 3 for businesses of 25 or more. So it's an alarming rate, and it keeps growing. And recently the U.S. government has identified cybercrime as one of the most serious economic and national security challenges we face
so
today as a nation.
What does that mean, the small businesses, the 1 in 4, a cyber attack? Is that just an attack with a virus, or is it always ransomware? What are we
it
talking about?
It could be a virus, which is a form of ransomware.
Yeah.
Or anytime a hack into their systems as well, you know, theft, identity theft, or any ways and means of their intruding their walls and getting information out of their computer system or bringing their website down to the knees.
So if it's a bigger business, you're more likely to be attacked. Is that because you're a more plumb target? Or just because you've got more computers and more exposure out there?
More computers, more exposures all over the world. You got computers, you got a lot of more activity, consumers, transactions, and some number of things.
Steve Burness is here. We're talking about cybersecurity for small businesses, but I want to run up to the newsroom and Ryan Burrow. Ryan?
Yeah, we just got this. A severe thunderstorm warning issued for eastern Will County, that's in northeastern Illinois, until 1:15. A severe thunderstorm was located, according to the National Weather Service, over Beecher or near Steger, moving southeast at 15 miles an hour, Steve.
All right, I know those people in Beecher very well, so we'll watch that storm and keep you updated. Let me know if you have any more information, Ryan. So, Steve, you know, you run a small business. You probably think, look, I'm just trying to get the hot dogs. You know, I'm trying to fry the French fries. I don't really have time to worry about this cyber stuff when the odds are against me ever being impacted anyway. What should people do?
People should be advised and be aware the situation can happen to them, especially small businesses who don't have the protection as the larger organizations may have or the depth of knowledge that is needed. They really have to understand that they need an expert to help them in some way with their plan. They have to have a plan of how they're going to protect their business, because this can bring their business down to its knees, or can knock them out of business or do damage to them financially.
Right. So in some cases, they're just trying to do damage to your data and your computer. They knock it down. You got to fix it. You lose everything that way.
Correct.
But then there's this growing trend to where they're actually demanding ransom, right? How often does that really happen?
It happens a lot more than people think. And really, ransomware is really a version of hacking into your system and putting some malware in your system, which enables them to have access to your computer and lock it. We've seen that many times, and it keeps increasing in intensity. And even government entities are victims of this. The Midlothian Police Department several years ago actually had to pay their ransomware. Government institutions, schools, businesses, small, large, and even consumers. So you really have to be on guard.
I would imagine, too, it's the sort of thing that, and I don't want to, you know, raise the alarms and, you know, be alarmist, but it's the sort of thing that I would bet a lot of people deal with. They pay the ransom, and then they don't make a big deal of it. So people don't even know it exists.
Right. Most people, you know, write it off to experience and will take care of the matter and won't report it to the authorities. And especially to small businesses, we find when they do have an intrusion or a hack or some type of concern, they don't usually tell or be very forthright about it because they're worried about their image. You know, what happened to Target couldn't happen to a small business. It would knock them out completely out of business
immediately.
Yeah,
that's a good point, right? So if you know that your data has been compromised or if you're a customer of this store, if I keep going back to the hot dog stand, you're going to go somewhere else maybe.
Exactly, and that's a problem.
Is just, you know, the antivirus software, is that the Norton and McAfee, that stuff, does that take care of? Is that what you need?
For the consumer side of it, you do need that. And make sure you update it regularly as well, not just have it there once and forget about it. You've got to update regularly and make sure the updates are installed. For business, it's more of a plan of what you're going to do, and there's a lot of equipment. You need an expert as well to help you in that aspect.
Well, what's involved in a plan? What do you mean?
Basically, what kind of equipment you have, you know, routers and firmware, make sure everything's up to date and make sure that you have the proper, you know, firewalls and protection in place and you have a proper policy for your employees, what they can and cannot do and what they can and cannot share and what they can't get into. So you really need a plan, and we really have the Better Business Bureau is going to host a Steps to Better Business Cybersecurity training ourselves in City Hall on July 21st and educate businesses.
You guys have had a few of these, right?
We had a few of these, and they keep growing in intensity because the more businesses are falling for this, especially the small businesses. So we're trying to educate consumers and businesses alike because it affects both. But it also affects our economy. As the government said, globally now it's about a $400 billion expense, and experts estimate that cost will reach $2 trillion by 2019.
What's the average? What's the ransom? Because I mean, I'm kind of struck by the fact that the ransoms demanded aren't really exorbitant. You know, they're not like the TV cop shows where they want millions of dollars for a kid. You know, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's affordable, but it's at a level that businesses can pay just to make it go away rather than fight it.
Right. In the past, it was
kind of an evil genius thing.
It is. It truly, in the past, it was high amounts. It was in the thousands of dollars or $10,000. Now they realize, hey, $500, maybe somebody would be willing to pay this without even looking both ways. And actually, I believe $500 is what the Midlothian Police Department did pay that ransomware person in Bitcoin. So they use a currency that's on the computer, and it's a little bit more than just the cash and credit cards that we know today.
Are there businesses that will come in and set you up, or is this something that people are kind of on their own for?
Oh, there's businesses out there, consultants that can help you as well, but you really need to find out what's proper for your organization. You have to do your own homework and research and find out, you know, who you're going to hire to help you, whether you need a consultant, a full-blown plan, or what type of security, depending on each business is different. So you really can't specify exactly what they need.
Tell me about some of these businesses that come to your forums. I know you got one you said coming up later this month at City Hall, but are these people who've been burned, or are these people who are proactive trying not to be burned?
Most people are the proactive ones because the ones who've been burned already know what to do.
Or they've already paid for the system.
Systems as well. But the people who really heard from their competitors or actually their colleagues and realize, hey, you know what, we've got to make some protection because this is a growing problem nationally and internationally. If we don't do anything, they could hurt our business or put us out of business.
You know, you said something about consumers and how a consumer might steer away from someone who's been hit. Correct. What's your advice to consumers? I mean, is that a good idea, or I'm sort of thinking lightning's not going to strike twice, or if they've been hit, they've taken the steps to make sure they're protected the next time. What do you tell consumers when they get this information?
It's a chance with any organization. You have to rely on them. If they've been hit, hopefully they have better security measures in place. However, they build a stronger wall, the scam artist knows how to break that wall down or get through the systems itself. Mm-hmm. So consumers, you know, identity theft is still the fastest white-collar crime today.
Have you ever been hacked?
I have not been hacked, but I have been a victim of identity theft. So there's something you can't do. I mean, nothing I can do. My information was stolen out of a business's office.
So if I get an email and this happens not infrequently, and I know it's not from the person. You know, it looks like it, but it's not written that way. There have been Facebook friend requests with people that are already friends. So what's happening there? Is that a malware trying to get my personal information, or what exactly are they? What's working there?
They're basically trying to get after your friends. So basically, they create another identity similar to yours, and hopefully, they'll go after your friends and saying, "This is Steve saying, you know, I've got this great deal for you, or sign up here, or go to this website." So they're trying to steer you somewhere else outside of the social media.
So in that case, they're sort of getting my friends list so they can hit them up for I'm stuck in France. I need $500 to come home.
That's whatever it may be, or that this great product. Watch this video, and you can make millions of dollars stuffing envelopes, or whatever it may be. Or this hidden video, never seen anywhere else. They try to, you have to click on you, click on that rather, right. So you can get the malware put on your systems. See, that's what happens. And then your system's affected, and they can watch all your keystrokes and what you're doing as well.
Steve Burness, the president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau here in Chicago. Tell me one more time if people want to go to this forum in July.
It basically is at the City Hall in downtown Chicago, July 21st at 9:30 a.m. at City Hall on the 8th floor. And you can reach us at bbb.org or cybercrime@chicago.bbb.org is the email address.
Now, will Mayor Emanuel be there? I'm assuming he's got programs, right?
He should be okay. I don't know if he's going to be there, but no, he does have programs to help the consumers.
Good to see you. Look forward to the next time. Another Friday in the city, a summer Friday, and a lot of you still looking for things to do on this weekend. Front Row Phyllis joins us from time to time on the Business Lunch to give us an idea of what might be coming up. Phyllis, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. We got a lot of stuff going on, right?
Yeah, I hear a lot of noise there. Well, are you eating turkey, a turkey leg at Taste of Chicago right now? Is that what's going on?
I'm thinking about that. I'm not sure which restaurant, but, you know, the Taste of Chicago is going on now through Sunday over at Grand Park. And besides all the great food, there's two, stages over there to hear some great music and some great artists that are going to be performing.
How are they doing at Taste of Chicago? Since they've downsized it a little bit, I just don't hear people talking about it as much.
You know, that's interesting you say. They've actually, you know, it's only about 5 days, so you got to cram it all in. And I think that they're still doing pretty well. And this year, you know, they changed it up because it started right after the holiday. So it started on the 5th.
Right.
Versus I think last year they started like the 11th or 12th. So it was. I think this is a better year for them.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
And there's some new restaurants.
I've noticed, too, traffic is very light this week. So I think a lot of people are off looking for things to do. So hopefully that'll help the crowds.
Yeah. And then down the street at Millennium Park is the Millennium Art Festival. And this is actually, I don't know if you know about this. This is actually ranked one of the top 50 art and design shows across the country. So you're going to get a chance to see artists show their work, everything from, you know, paintings to ceramics, their photographs, and plenty. They also have some live music going on as well, and then several different restaurants that you can sample their food from, too.
Is that fairly new? I had not known much about this before.
You know, that's pretty interesting. I think it's been around for a few years, but I never knew that they did it together. You know what I'm
saying?
So I have to say that there's probably going to be a lot of traffic in that part of the city today. All weekend, right?
I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I want to jump ahead. I forgot to say we've got a pair of tickets to Idina Menzel coming up. I think she's at the Chicago Theater. Is that next month?
She is. She's going to be here over on August 12th. And, you know, of course we know her as one of the best of Broadway stars. You know, she was in Wicked and Rent, and we have a pair of tickets to give away.
All right, let's just do it now.
Call
Bennett. The phone number is 312-981-7200. I wasn't sure which line to use. So 981-7200, we'll give it to the seventh caller, and we'll give you a pair of tickets. So call Bennett now at that. She's, of course, the person whose name got screwed up by John Travolta, right?
Right. Remember that?
Yeah. Hey, I'm a big fan of Ravinia. I see Sheryl Crow's there. Is that's tonight?
That is tonight. Sheryl Crow is there. And, you know, she is actually at Ravinia, and she's bringing, it's her Be Myself tour, hence the name, because she actually kicked off earlier this year her latest album. And, of course, I say that it's preceding her other albums, A Little Thoughtful and Candid. And, you know, she's going to got that incredible sultry voice and straight ahead approach. So I'm pretty excited to have her at Ravinia tonight.
Can't miss a summer night at Ravinia. It's one of my favorite things about summer. I'm just looking over the list. We don't have time to run by everything. But I had forgotten that Adam Lambert, the guy who did so well on American Idol years ago, is now touring with Queen, right? And they're coming to the city next week.
They are July 13th over at United Center. And, of course, all eyes are going to be on Adam Lambert. And it's not just because of his great outfit. It's because he is the front man for Queen. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because the guys actually in a recent interview said that you really need an extraordinary figurehead to front Queen. And they actually were really excited that they found him. And, again, that's on July 13th. And then next weekend, I want to throw in that, don't forget, it's one of the biggest country festivals, and that is the Windy City Smokeout, and that's over on Grant and Chicago River. It runs Friday through Sunday. And some of the biggest names are going to be here. Jake Owen from Kit Moore, Lee Bryce, Jana Kramer. And then there's also over 13 of the best pit masters. So you get a
excellent
chance to sample stuff. I know. I'm so excited. Are you going to go over there?
So that's pretty close to Tribune's Pioneer Center, right? Pioneer Center, not too far over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it should be really good.
I think country music is great, and they've done a great job of sort of encapsulating themselves with these fairly small festivals, pretty accessible festivals. There was one just a couple weeks ago, south of here. And that sounds pretty cool. Windy City Smokeout, July 14th to the 16th. All right, Phyllis, thanks very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.